we have the joyful privilege of coming to God's Word each day to consider various aspects of the cross-centered life. And today we come to the truth of justification as seen through the lens of Romans chapter 3 that we read just a few moments ago. But for our purposes today, I want us to focus specifically on verse 24. And what I want us to see is that we are a people who have moved from tragedy to triumph because of the work of our King Jesus on the cross. But before we go to God's Word to consider the truth in it, let's pray that He would help us to understand. Father, I pray that You would give the eyes of our hearts faith to see. Would You help us to hear, to understand, and to embrace the truth of Your Word. We pray that You would speak to us, O Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this verse tells us that we are a people who have been justified. And I want you to hear some of the voices of those who have gone before us and one that is still living as to the importance of this truth of justification. Martin Luther says, "This doctrine is the head and the cornerstone. It alone produces, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the Church of God. And without it, the Church of God cannot exist for one hour." John Calvin said, "Wherever the knowledge of it is taken away, the glory of Christ is extinguished. Religion is abolished, the church is destroyed, and the hope of salvation is utterly overthrown." And then finally, R.C. Sproul said this, "The importance of justification by faith alone is important not merely because the church stands or falls on it. It is important because on it we stand or fall." And traditionally, through the history of the church, we have understood the idea of justification as a legal term, as a law court metaphor. And the idea is that the accused and the accuser, they argue it out before the judge. And after hearing the case, the judge pronounces the defendant either in the right, justifying him or her, or in the wrong, condemning him or her. But in this case, God serves as both the judge and the accuser. And the amazing thing is that He provided a way to ensure that we, who are unquestionably guilty of sin and wrongdoing, could be declared righteous, would be restored to a right relationship with Him, and would be free from all accusations. You see, the demands of God's holy character and justice had to be satisfied, but God Himself supplied the means for that to happen in and through Jesus Christ. Justification says that the accusations against us have been dismissed completely. There's no longer a reason for the verdict of guilt or the infliction of punishment that we could have deserved and that we do deserve. The accused person is now free. But if we go back and look at church history, what we also see is that this term justification is not just a legal term. It's a legal term that has relational implications to it. Here's what I mean. The accused person, when they were justified, they were received back into the community, and relationships were restored. Now, on the other hand, if a person was condemned, relationships continued to be broken to some degree or another. And in fact, condemnation for serious offenses, which might lead to banishment in some cases, announced the final separation between someone and the rest of the community. So in a sense, it was the ultimate severance of relationship, if you will. So while justification is a legal term, there are also relational implications to it. And at heart, it's also a matter of relationship. So then that brings us to a few questions. And this is the first. Why then do we need to be justified? And in Romans, we heard just a few moments ago that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us stand condemned, helpless, and hopeless. We need justification because we are guilty and sinful in the sight of a holy God. In thinking about sin and its consequences, John Murray said this: God cannot be indifferent or complacent towards that which is the contradiction of Himself. God cannot be indifferent to sin because it is the contradiction of who He is as a holy God. Friends, we make no contribution whatsoever to our justification except the sin which makes it necessary and the sin which God so graciously chooses to forgive through Jesus. So here's the next question. How then are we brought into a justified relationship with God? And Scripture tells us that it's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by placing trust in Jesus Christ alone as the payment for your sins, believing that He is your only righteousness. Now, there are those who say that it is possible to have relationship with God apart from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And friends, I think Scripture is very clear on this matter, that that is a sadly mistaken opinion. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." No one comes to God the Father except through Jesus. So we're told that we're justified. And then secondly, verse 24 tells us that we are justified freely by His grace. We receive His absolutely free and undeserved favor. It's given to us as a gift, and it's received as a gift. It cannot be imposed by obligation, nor is it earned or deserved. So we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is ours by the work of Jesus Christ. Friends, we do not and we cannot justify ourselves. We do not and we cannot justify ourselves. No amount of guilt, of shame, of beating ourselves up for sin in our hearts, or good works for that matter, will justify us before a holy God. It's time to let those things go and trust that the wrath that our sin deserved was transferred onto Jesus Christ, who became for us the wrath-removing sacrifice. So when someone invites Jesus Christ into their heart, into their life, trusting in Him for salvation as their only hope, as their only righteousness, in effect, it's as if God says, "You are justified. You are now justified. You are free of guilt, of wrath that you deserve because of your sin." So all of humankind are, in the sight of God, lost sinners with no hope apart from Jesus. But friends, the Church of Jesus Christ claims that He is our only righteousness. And if that's you this morning, if you claim that Jesus is your only righteousness, I want you to hear these words of encouragement. By His obedience, speaking of Jesus, He has wiped away your transgressions and your sin. By His sacrifice, He has appeased God's divine anger against you. By His blood, He has washed away your stains. By His cross, He has borne the curse, the one that you and I deserved. By His death, He has made satisfaction for the payment of your sin. You see, redemption isn't free in the sense that nobody paid for it. It's free to us, but Jesus paid for it. The ransom has been paid. We have been set free. Jesus bore the punishment for our sins upon the cross. And friends, if you know Jesus, then you have been justified. You are made right in the eyes of a holy and a sovereign God. So the punishment that you and I could have rightly and justly deserved was instead cast upon Jesus as He hung, as He bore our cross, as He hung upon the cross and bore our sin. That's why we remind each other so often that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
It's a message that never gets old. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because one day, we will have no righteousness of our own to plead our case before God the Father. And the wonderful gift is that Jesus Christ met the demands of God's holiness and justice on our behalf. And because of Jesus alone, we are acquitted. Because of Jesus, we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus stands before the Father as the righteousness that we hold as the church of Jesus Christ. So friends, justification is a beautiful message. And the reason it's a beautiful message is because it reminds us that we are a free people, not just individually, but corporately. As the family of God, in our relationships, we are to be a free people. And the question that I've been asking myself this week is, what are you doing to cultivate that freedom and that reliance upon the cross in your relationships? Are you living in such a way that people know that Jesus Christ is the only righteousness that you hold? I want to read you a few verses from Titus 3 and Colossians 2. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And in Colossians 2, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave all our sins. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. I heard it said some time ago, I can't remember by whom, that the cross cannot be defeated, for it is defeat. Friends, we are a people who have moved from tragedy to triumph, to joyful triumph, because of the work of our King Jesus on our behalf. Grace is available to us through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us to live in this freedom, that You would help us to be a people who live constantly with this in mind. Our only hope rests in You, Jesus. Your blood and righteousness is all we have to plead before the Father, but I thank You that because of that, we are offered to come boldly to the throne. What a great and wonderful gift. We give You all thanks and praise this day and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.